BD214 Network podcast is for mature audiences only. Any videos, music, or entertainment not originating from DD214 Network is used and covered under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, also known as fair use. Opinions expressed are our own and do not represent any DoD or US government entities as a whole. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. You are no longer alone now, because we have you.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, yeah. All right, cool. I had to make sure everything was going good. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Had my coffee, got my graham crackers. I'm doing great, man. How are you feeling?
Oh, hanging tight, dude. Let me tell you. Fucking A, dude. Joe, how are you doing today, buddy?
Alive here.
I love your fucking sweater, by the way. I love your fucking sweater. Okay, like look at that fucking color. That is just fucking Ranger-tastic, dude. Power Ranger-tastic, but Ranger-tastic nonetheless. Like I gotta give Joe fucking props on that shit, dude. Like,
so seriously,
can you hear that?
I ended up having to open a fucking case with the U.S. Post Office because this shit showed. My package with all the sweaters showed it was delivered on the Monday before the 1st of December.
Okay.
They didn't actually deliver it. Second, I opened the case with the post office and the postmaster for my local post office calls me to get more details. Miraculously, the package showed up that afternoon.
Oh, no way.
So no the fucker way. Probably was going to try to steal it. And then because I opened a case and he got questioned, it showed up.
Interesting.
There you go. I heard you. Okay. Yeah, how it is interesting, isn't it? Because fucking, yeah, like it's...
It just happened to me.
Shit's getting a little shady out there. Shit's getting a little shady out there, dude. Like, why don't you tell the audience kind of what happened in your case? Because I didn't know, I was not aware you and Joe were talking about it. I hadn't really heard about that yet.
So I actually ordered what I'm using right now, this thing.
Okay.
The Zoom Podcast P4.
Okay.
I'm actually recording our audio separately right now.
Okay. Because of that thing?
Yeah. Okay. So that I could play around with sound on virtual recordings to see what I could do with editing. Great product. But the first time it came, the box was super light. I was like, damn, this is pretty light. And when I opened up the box, there was nothing inside of it. It was definitely stolen. You can see the markings and everything on it, and Amazon, you are to blame. We know what some of you guys are doing. And also, I also found out that a lot of these overnight Amazon workers are not even Amazon workers. They're just flex workers.
Yeah.
Who are contracted, to do the delivery. So
to give you an example of that, I don't work for Amazon, but when I do security, there are temp workers that I work with sometimes at some of the venues, not all of them, but some of the venues, they're straight up like day laborers. You know what I mean? Like they're picking up a shift for like a single thing, and they're on to the next thing. You know what I mean? And like that's That's the service industry, right? That's the service industry.
Even, so. I mean, even in the IT industry, we have per diem workers is what we call them, which is, you know, they're an employee with our company, but they make their own schedule depending on business needs. If the department can use a per diem employee, we have them. My department doesn't, because we can't, you know, we don't have the luxury in what I do to have that type of day worker per diem type of deal. But what it is for us is it's somebody that's, they're an employee. They have, you know, full access, full accounts. They get paid by my company, but they choose their own schedule. If they want to work that week, they can work that whole week. If they don't want to work at all, they don't have to.
That's basically what I do with security around Kansas City. I choose which shifts I want. And if I want, if I need 30 hours that week, I can find 30 hours usually somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's, it's really up. It's kind of like power, you know, power's in your hand basically on that one. So, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Fucking A. Fuck. We haven't been back for a couple of weeks. So we do apologize. It's been 2 weeks.
Just one week, Jay.
We've only missed one episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that means it's been 2 weeks.
It's been two weeks since the last episode, but missed one.
I know. That's what I was saying. It's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks instead of the normal one. Are you intentionally trying to confuse me?
No, now you're confusing me now.
It's working. Okay. It's working. Yeah. So
I guess I'm trying to confuse both of you because let's explain a little bit of something that happened during the pre-show today. Obviously, John's got a new mic, this new fancy audio recorder thing. He's asking us how it sounds. I'm like, you're super fucking low, can barely hear you. He switches his mic and his headset completely over to a different one. And then I look over, and the reason I could barely hear him was I had him turned down in our software because his old mic was too fucking loud. So then he had to switch everything back the fuck over. And he's just looking at me through the camera with that 1,000-yard stare like, you son of a bitch.
You know what's funny, too, how, like, this whole week, it's been something with audio. But, you know, and Squillini, back me up here. Discord just changes shit every time you fucking log in. It's always like, oh, we can't hear you. Your mic is muted. It's not my fucking fault. Sometimes it is.
Every time I open Discord on any of my computers, whether it's my podcasting desk, my gaming setup over here, there's always that little green arrow icon in the top fucking corner that signifies there's a fucking update. And every time I hit it to actually restart the software to apply the update, some weird shit happens with my audio in Discord. Because whatever they're doing in the background, in the code, within the APIs, they fuck up audio every time. And then I spend 20 minutes getting everything rebalanced and fixed and back to the way I had it before. It's gotten to the point where I have a screenshot saved in a folder on my computers of my audio settings for Discord. So that way, when I have to put everything back, I pull the screenshot up on one screen and I go into the settings on Discord so I can just quickly reconnect everything back.
And how sad is it in 2023 you have to fucking do that? It's like, motherfucker, I swear to God, motherfuckers try to like reinvent the wheel with shit that already works. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the shit is fine. Leave it the fuck alone. You know, people are used to it. You got millions of people on different servers. It's working. It's fine. Leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Can I get a fucking amen out there? Can I get a fucking amen? Yeah. Yeah.
Can you hear that cheering?
Yeah.
It's got buttons here. What's this one do?
Right.
Oh.
Some nice little slow jam. I need one of those now, John, because that's just
fun. It's $150. It's amazing. It's super affordable. It's Squillini. You need to get this thing. You'll love it. Anywho, I got some reviews. I'd love to sink your teeth into, because I always try to convince Jay to watch something, but this one is of a different flavor.
Okay.
This one The first one I'm going to talk about is The Chosen.
Okay.
Okay. The Chosen is follows the New Testament of Jesus Christ.
What?
Yes. But it's a comedy. Jesus is a damn comedian. He does too soon jokes. Okay. It's, you know, but on the seriousness of it, the reason why I started watching this show is because I was scrolling through YouTube one day, and, you know, I just watch a lot of weird shit sometimes. And I stumbled upon this scene of a TV show. And, you know, obviously there was Jesus walking on water and, no, they were all the characters. I was like, okay. I was like, you know what? Let me check this out. Let me check the production of this. And I was like, damn, this is pretty good. So I was just like, let me check out the show. I haven't even gotten to that scene yet. but the show itself, leave out, you know, because you guys know where my stance is. I don't talk about it. I'm just like, you know, I'm a believer. I'm not going out there preaching the word and things like that. But I mean, the show, you know, coming into this show as someone who is like that, it's pretty interesting, you know. This is the only thing I'm going to say about what's going on in the outside world, but I kind of have an understanding of shit that's going down out there. I mean, some of the cultural, how do I say, infighting that's been happening between them, I'm starting to realize it's been happening since...
Yeah,
BC, you know, since the BC days. And I honestly, I never really understood that. So outside of like the religious aspect, there are other, I mean, Jesus isn't even the main character of the show. Neither is Mary.
He wasn't really a main character then either.
Last time I heard.
And that's why the
show is pretty cool. They find a way to make some of the things funny. Like when the show begins, there's a character, it's the character Peter.
Okay.
But they named him Simon Peter don't ask me why. I didn't write the show. But oh yeah, that's true. So he's in a fight with his brother-in-law. He's beating the hell out of him. He's like, "You know why they call me Wine Hands? Because of what I do to your liver." You know? And just there alone, I was like, "Okay, that's a pretty cool vibe." Okay? Let's see where this show's going to go. We haven't gotten to the depressing violent stuff yet.
Depressing. Why is violence depressing?
I mean, violence brings me joy. So
I'm just saying. You know, we've seen crucifixions already. John the Baptist is in jail now. Look, there's no spoilers here, okay? If you guys know the story, but it's
if you've read the Bible at any point.
Yeah. You know, we haven't even met Judas yet, but me and my wife have swept through two seasons so far. Great show, great production. It's free on everywhere because apparently I don't know if people didn't want to pick up the show. It's a great show.
Okay.
Great show.
Like, Todd the Book of Pure Evil. Like,
yeah.
You ever see that one?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. But very interesting, like the perspectives that they give you of how like Jesus would talk, you know. And it's just like, it's comedic, it's super comedic. I believe Jesus Christ was a stand-up comedian at one point.
That's a pretty controversial take, John, but you might not be wrong. Listen,
there's a lot of controversial takes in this show, and some jaw-dropping moments I'm like, oh, he did that?
I mean, there's a lot of controversial takes in the Bible in general, so.
Yeah. Next, what did I have? So the Game Awards.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, dear sweet comedian Jesus.
Yeah, dude.
Not going to get a drum roll in that or anything.
Yeah.
Dude, it was... The awards themselves, they kind of swept through them, right? They were just like...
I don't even know what you'd call sweeping through them. They just like, you know, they announce who wins and they give the person like 5 seconds on the stage to do their thank yous. And then like, it's on to the next video game commercial.
Did you see the voice actor of God of War?
I was about to ask that. Pull him up. The fucking joke he made. Cause like last year, his speech was fucking long.
Eight and a half minutes long.
And this year he was like, you know, I'm not allowed to give that long of a speech, so on and so forth. And then he's like, but my speech is still longer than the latest Call of Duty campaign. Like, just straight punch fucking act of Blizzard in the gut.
Wrecked. Just wrecked.
Hilarious.
And then right after, he's like, well, I guess I'm never going to get called up to do any voice work for them now.
Yeah. Well, we've taken so many shots. We've taken so many shots at Call of Duty over the last couple of years. It's kind of like, it's almost like it's just low hanging fruit anymore. They're so easy. They're the one shooting themselves in the dick. You know, it's not us anymore, dude. So it's like, you know what? Like, you did that to yourself.
We're just watching the fall.
Seriously, man. I mean, this. Mm-hmm. I think the Video Game Awards this year was a microcosm of the greater macro that we have seen since the inception of this podcast. And that is that the gaming industry is in the toilet. It's fucking circling the drain right now. And they're trying too hard now, and they're overcompensating, and in their overcompensation and lust for fucking power and money, they're ruining it even faster.
They're ruining it even faster.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it gives me no incentive to worry about any of it, to play anything, to give enough of a shit to buy something. I can't even tell you guys, like, you know, I know we're going to get to it in a minute, but some trailers got released. Still haven't seen a game that's making me willing to fucking buy.
You weren't interested in the Last Ronin?
We'll see, dude. I don't believe them anymore. There were some
that I liked. I mean, there was The Last Sentinel. There was also The First Descendant. Those games looked pretty cool. And games that are completely out of my genre too. That I was just like, okay, maybe I'll give this a try.
Well, yeah, but the game has to come out first. Then you got to see actual reactions to it, like actual gameplay footage. You know, what I would call an actual legitimate gamer, what actual legitimate gamers say about it. You know what I mean? Like if it's buggy, if it's buggy, if it's not buggy, if it's a great Absolutely. Story, whatever, I mean, you know, you're not going to reach a casual like me when the last like good game that came out for me was like, you know, God of War and Ragnarok and fucking Red Dead Redemption 2. You're not going to suck me into a new game or a new console. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm just looking at this. Like, I'm looking at the winners. So Baldur's Gate 3 Game of the Year, Baldur's Gate 3 Player's Choice, Cyberpunk got ongoing game.
Yeah,
Best Adaptation, which Last of Us, I will say that show did deserve that fucking award. It did. Because hands down, a lot better than fucking Twisted Metal was. Twisted Metal was good and was on the ballot for
Best Adaptation. We're getting Twisted Metal Season 2 also. We're getting a second
season of it. But at the same time, Last of Us, hands down, I love the way they did that great show. You know, we talked about it every week as we were watching the fucking episodes. Yep. Because it actually caught all of us and got us, all three of us were just in that show.
Sucked in.
Then some fucking mobile game won the mobile game award. Again, I don't play fucking mobile games because mobile gamers aren't real gamers. Yes, I just fucking said it. Damn. Go ahead and cancel me now.
We don't know this guy.
Baldur's Gate 3 got best multiplayer game. Final Fantasy, 7 Rebirth got anticipated game. Sea of Stars, never fucking played it. That's an indie game. Valorant won the esports game of the year. Baldur's Gate 3, best role-playing game. Alan Wake 2 got the narrative award. Content creator of the year, don't give a shit about that. Studio/game direction, Epic Games and Remedy Entertainment, who were behind
Alan Wake. Surprising, by the way.
Armored Core got action game. Tears of the Kingdom, action adventure game. That, in my opinion, Tears of the Kingdom should have got Game of the Year over fucking Baldur's Gate 3.
It was close.
But it was a really close fucking call.
It was really close.
It was like 5 or 6 votes that made the determining factor on that.
Damn.
So,
damn.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like this year, it 100% was, you know, we're going to announce the award, give your 5-second fucking speech, and then we're going to show you a trailer for another video game.
Right. Yep.
And it's because the video game industry is hurting so bad right now, they had to fuck with the game awards to be able to try to promote and shit all these new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad Starfield didn't make it on there. Sorry, John. I know how
hard on you had for the game. I expressed my opinion about it. You know, it was a great game, but it just failed to have
complete replayability,
no mm-hmm. continuity. They showed the Starfield trailer that showed absolutely nothing, and we're still waiting for the Shattered Space DLC that so many of us paid for, and we don't even know when that's coming out. You know, so yeah. I enjoyed the story, great game, but come on, like there is no production and no answers from the other side. It's crazy.
And the thing is, like I was expecting if any fucking studio was going to be able to pull a fucking space game, it would have been fucking Bethesda. And I would have expected the same playability from an Elder Scrolls game or Fallout with this game.
And you know what, speaking of that, this is actually a good segue, as Jay would call it. So the Fallout cast was there, mm-hmm. and they said they're going to have a special sneak peek. Was there anything special? Well, before we get to the main trailer, did you see the sneak peek that they showed at Game Awards?
What was it?
It showed every single thing from the trailer except a small shot of two different characters in front of a shack. It was very disappointing, especially the fact that Todd Howard and Jonathan Nolan were sitting right there. So, it was cool to see the cast show up with the power armor, you know. But the that was disappointing. But the trailer itself, I love Fallout, and this trailer, you know, after doing a lot of digging, there's some questions, and I have theories. But I'm gonna have a whole separate video for that coming up throughout the week. And people who are worried about the timelines and things being missing, just wait till the fucking show comes out for it to be answered. This is for any show. People complain and bitch so much about timelines and things messing up, but you know, this series itself is based off of something that happened 219 years prior. So we're dealing with a whole different world from here on in.
We're dealing with a different era than what we've seen in any of the Fallout games so far with the show. And, you know, that's the thing. I like that they're using the show more to expand the Fallout universe than making the show be a carbon copy of what we've kind of gotten in the games.
Yeah, they kind of just continued it.
And I like that because it does give that little bit of extra oomph to the series as a whole. I've been a big Fallout fan myself, except 76. Never really got into 76. Probably need to give it another try because it's been years since the last time I tried playing it.
Come join me and Brandon. Come.
But
my wife joined us last night.
It's one of those things, like, I've always enjoyed the Fallout games. And I'm looking forward to the show just to see how they expand upon the lore and the universe with this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, I'm going into the show with an open mind because who knows? I didn't think they were going to pull off The Last of Us the way they did. And look at how big of a fucking success that show was.
Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, this is the age of video game adaptations. Like, for years, they were fucking it up.
I mean, the Super Mario Bros. Movie, the latest one that Illumination put out, hands down, great fucking movie. And I love how they threw aspects of every little different thing in there. You had Mario Kart. You had Donkey Kong. You had fucking, like, they really are trying to build this extended video game universe.
They're doing a good job. I can't wait for the next one. I I forgot what the, I know they were talking about doing the Legend of Zelda movie by Illumination, which
it's been announced already by Nintendo. Yeah. They said that it's in the works. That's going to be interesting to see how they pull that off, especially since, you know, the main character doesn't talk in the video games.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to do the same thing, but yeah, that was pretty exciting. What else did we have? I had another review. My wife and I, you know, I'm a big reality game show guy, and we found this new show that's not Big Brother, and actually something that I think I enjoy more than Big Brother, and it's a deception game called Traitors.
Traitors.
Give me a second to actually fucking focus when you do that, John.
Like Benedict Arnold Traitors?
Manual focus.
So I get that, but it didn't focus at all.
I know. But the show...
Traitors, like Benedict Arnold was a traitor? Or like Traitors, like we're at a trading post? How's it spelled? With a T or a D?
With a T. Traitors. You're a fucking traitor, you piece of shit.
Okay.
You know?
So we've gone through three
different seasons from three different countries, and the show puts different people. And of course the American version puts celebrities in it because they always do shit like that.
Because we need to see more of those fucking cocksucks.
Yeah, you know. But it was dramatic as hell. But the other two seasons, which didn't have like celebrities on it, it was nasty. So they put about 20 people in the house together. And they sit you in a table, and you have to blindfold yourself. And the host goes around the table and chooses three traitors. And they have to, and everyone has to work together to get prize money. But if so, they argue with each other, trying to figure out who the traitor is, because if they're working all together to make this money. By the end of the game, there's about four people, and if one of them is a traitor, that one traitor goes home with all the money.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's a lot of lying, there's a lot of fighting. It is insane.
You watch some funny stuff, Joe. You watch some funny stuff.
Some of them I wish they really would murder sometimes, because some of them were just really pieces of shits, man. Like straight up, like But very, very, very interesting concept of a show. Reminds me, and influence of games that I've talked about before, like Town of Salem.
I have a question for you. Since you watch a lot of the reality shows and stuff, are you familiar with Joe Gatto,
the comedian?
Yeah. Like I think there's a Joker show or something. What's it called?
Yeah,
Practical Jokers.
Yeah. The one that he's not on no more.
Sure. Yeah. I did his show. He did a show at the Midland on Friday night here in Kansas City, and I got to do. I did security for his show.
Oh,
and then
shit!
I was like behind the curtain with him. He had like a meet and greet afterwards. They had us kind of stay back, but it was okay. I mean, it wasn't. You know, I didn't really know who he was, but I you know.
He wasn't no Tony Hinchcliffe.
He weren't no Andrew Dice Clay, right? I mean, what are you gonna do? Can't all be the Dice Man, right? But he was all right, though. He was okay.
Yeah.
He was okay.
Joe Gatto's okay.
Yeah, well, that's like, so, you know, if anybody's wondering with the title of this episode, you know, Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, we support all faiths and religious beliefs during the holiday season. My quality manager at work is Jewish. She's celebrating Hanukkah right now. Celebrates Hanukkah and Christmas because her boyfriend's Christian, so they celebrate both. For Thursday being the first day of Hanukkah, they went to see Adam Sandler.
Nice. That sounds fucking cool.
And
I bet he sang the Hanukkah song too.
And of course he did the Hanukkah song. Outside of that, he brought up the whole crew, Rob Schneider, Kevin James, all of them were there. What? At one point, he had all of them on the fucking stage with him.
She said it was
a fucking amazing show.
That's awesome. That's awesome. If he comes through Kansas City, I'll try to make sure I get to do that show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely on my bucket list of comedians to see live, especially now that he's going and retouring doing comedy again. Yeah. And kind of stepped back from all of the Hollywood side of stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I've always loved Sandler. His comedy's gold, in my opinion. It's our generation of comedy too.
Yeah. Well, he didn't really,
he didn't let the fame get to him.
Well, he didn't change too much, but he also didn't stay exactly the same. And a lot of his movies have actually grown on me over the years, where it's like a lot of the dumb, you know, physical humor, or, poop and fart jokes and stuff like that, where it's kind of like a little lowbrow, but at the same time, like, I've watched some of his movies, this last year or two. We've been in Kansas City and a couple times with the kids, and a lot of it's grown on me again. I mean, I liked it back in the day too, but like, I got another type of or level of appreciation for Adam Sandler. And then he has a couple of movies that just blew me the fuck away, where it's just like the shit'll make you fucking, what was the, Mr. Deeds? Was that Mr. Deeds?
Yeah, that was a funny one.
It was funny, and it like just blew me away because I was like, "Fuck!" Like I slept on that shit.
And one thing that I like with what Sandler's done with his career, and I know this is kind of going on another track of things, but is the fact that he's now gotten to the point where he can even play a serious role, and it's not weird. What was the movie Hustle, where he was the basketball manager?
Yeah.
Like the GM for a basketball team?
Or Uncut
Gems. Came out a bit ago?
Yeah, and Uncut Gems, where he plays that degenerate gambler or whatever the fuck,
Yeah.
Like shit, it doesn't support. What was the one where his family got killed in 9/11? And then he like, what was that one?
I didn't watch that one.
I still haven't watched that one because I have a feeling like that one's just going to fucking tear my soul out again, and leave it in some kind of like fucking sobby mess pile scattered around the floor, like an IED explosion. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. I've heard about that movie and I've kind of tried to like stay away from it because I'm just kind of like, I'm still not ready for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I tend to distance myself from a lot of those 9/11 related stories and movies because I know it's just going to either it's going to cause me to be super fucking pissed off or I'm going to be in an emotional fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
Cause 20 years later and that's still a super, super fucking dark time for the country.
And now that's 20 years later, it's kind of like it's really dark now. It's really dark now, and that's kind of where the darkness started. You know what I mean?
There's actually an interesting documentary out right now, called it's something along the lines of like, can we start joking about 9/11 yet?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but that's something that's definitely on my watch list. I'm definitely curious to.
Sure.
Pick into and figure out like what the whole spiel on that is about.
There's a whole generation now that was born after 9/11, and they're here. So like they don't even have living memory of it. So we're talking time has passed. I mean it's a major rough time in our country's history, right? But that's their time waits for no one, right? And that's kind of one of those
absolutely
like
right.
No, we'll never forget 9/11, but at some point, it's one of those it has been 20 years and we're going to be coming up on 25 and a few more.
Well, that's kind of like one of the movies I just recently rewatched, and I'm not sure if I talked about it in an episode afterwards. Thank You for Your Service came out in 2017. And every time I end up finding myself watching that movie, it does tug at my heartstrings because it touches on a lot of those important topics and stuff that we touch on even on this podcast with, veteran suicide and mental health awareness. And it's one of those movies that just, for me, it's whenever I feel myself like start to feel down, depressed about about something from my time in, I tend to go and watch that movie because it kind of pulls me back into reality.
Well, it's good to remind ourselves too. Like, it sometimes doesn't seem real. Like when you've served and whatever you did in whatever regard and whatever branch, sometimes it doesn't seem real after you get out.
Yeah.
And I do think it's good. And I think it's healthy to sometimes go back and touch the grass, so to speak. And touching the grass is basically like, remember what you did. Like you were there. Other people weren't. You have the experience. You get to say you get to say you did something for a greater purpose, and put your freaking 2 cents in and wrote your name on the fucking blank check to the government saying fucking take me, you know, take me, you know, here am I, send me, you know, and that's there is something to that, and it is easy to forget, and it's easy to get lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is good to remind ourselves, like, no, you did do it, and it's okay to look back on it, and it doesn't have to be necessarily a sad thing. It can be something you take a lot of pride and honor in, because you were there. You were there, and many, many millions of other people weren't, and they never will be. And so there's something to that. So just always be proud. And if you're having those moments, for sure, like we talk about it every episode, right? Give somebody a fucking phone call. Yeah. So
it's not hard. It's not hard, man. It's not hard.
I've been calling. We were talking a little bit before the show, and you know, not to get on like a fucking weepy sad fucking topic, but we were talking before the show, and I can't tell you guys in the last 2 weeks since our last episode, I can't tell you how many times I've had to fucking pick up the phone and call somebody. It is what it is. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's the holidays or if it's just that season, you know, of life, or I'm getting a little soggy in my middle age. But I, you know, when you're having a rough go of it, you're having a rough go of it. And some, you can't fucking isolate that. Like, isolating is the last fucking thing in the world. There was a day, it wasn't quite 2 weeks ago, and it was like right after we did our last episode. So it was like probably like, it wouldn't have been Tuesday, so probably Wednesday of that week. So a few days after our last episode, I didn't even want to get out of bed. And I had to like force myself out of bed. And I told myself, I'm like, you need to get A and B done. If you get A and B done, just go have a beer and then try to freaking like come home and freaking like use the rest of the day to fucking like just vent, or just, you know, just cool off basically. Cause I could feel it. I could feel it all inside, and I wasn't trying to like let it all out at once. You know what I mean? Like, that shit's scary, right? Like you get overwhelmed. You just get overwhelmed, and you freeze in place, and you're worthless for like 2 or 3 hours. You know what I mean? It just doesn't get it.
Sucks your soul, man.
It really does, dude. It really, really does. So, but that's what I did. I got my happy ass up. I went and took a shower. I got a couple things done around the house. I think I even did a couple things more than I was expecting to. Got a couple errands run outside. And then that's when I went, had a couple beers. And then about that time, freaking, you know, girls were getting off school. So I was like, okay, I can come home, go fucking chill. You know what I mean? Like, go fucking chill for the evening. You did okay today. You know what I mean? But
absolutely.
First step is getting the fuck out of bed, though. You got to get the fuck out of bed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, anywho. So, yeah.
You just found something? You got breaking news, Joe?
No, I don't have breaking news. I'm trying to locate something here.
This package?
No.
Which package? What kind of package, John? the
one that Amazon keep fucking stealing, that's what.
Oh, yeah. I thought you might have been talking about, like, Joe's package, you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Joe's packing some heat down there.
So, and you know, we've kind of like, I think I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast before, you know, since we're kind of down the mental health rabbit hole right now. You know, I lost my mom Christmas Day 5 years ago. Yeah. Haven't really been a big, you know, festive Christmassy type of person since. This year, I picked myself up by the bootstraps, and I'm going to show some photos here.
Please.
Because I fully fucking went like full fucking Christmas mode this year.
Okay. Good.
Clearly Red Ranger.
And, you know, we got, that's our, nice, you know, main tree downstairs.
Beautiful.
Got that all set up.
Main tree? You mean you have another one?
It's behind it's him.
Right behind me.
Oh, shit.
Situational awareness, John. Situational awareness.
I don't got to do that no more.
Oh, yeah. You live in fucking... Yeah, fuck you do. You hush. You lock it up.
Yeah, our Christmas tree is up. We actually got a bunch of really nice old decorations, a bunch of old decorations from her mother's house that go back, like 20, 30 years, some of them.
Out front, in front of the place.
Baby Yoda. Of course,
hell yeah.
Baby Yoda in front of it.
That's awesome.
Nerd.
Not that one, not that one. Those are videos.
Oh.
That's funny.
That's cool. I like that.
In case you're trying to end your elf on a shelf thing with your kids. Again, this podcast is not for for minors.
It's in the disclaimer. They get it.
Okay.
Yeah. YouTube will age restrict us anyway, which is what they've been doing. We know it's okay.
That doesn't fucking surprise me.
Ain't scared. Ain't scared. Like
No. I mean, well, how could you? How could you be?
And then, like, all of my computers, I've put some kind of Christmassy fucking wallpaper on the displays. Trying to keep myself a little grounded with everything. Focus back.
Did you guys see? You might have seen it on my Facebook. I just sent it to the chat. Our friend of the podcast went. Pablo Martinez, he went by the house that I used to live in Tucson, Arizona, a long, long time ago, and he took a picture of
the cactus with the cactus.
Yes,
dude.
Is that not the most stereotypical looking sorrel cactus you've ever seen in your fucking life? That used to be the house I lived in.
So what's interesting? What's so interesting about that photo? And I said this to you too in the photo post was that. We're not used to that out here. We don't have cactus.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That is a big fucking cactus.
Hey, one second.
Yep.
Sorry.
Oh, there's just one second. but yeah, I mean, he's got the cactus at his house, right? In this old school house of his. We're not used to cactus. Over here at all
here either
yeah and you know
I mean some... we're used to cactus, but usually it's a small little cactus in a fucking planter you have as a house plant.
Yeah, I've never seen it as like a front lawn decoration, you know.
It's not a decoration. The damn thing's grown out the ground.
You know, and I, you know, with Christmas ornaments on it and everything like that, it's actually kind of cool. But like I could imagine that the Midwesterns that's how they rock. You know, that's how they go.
Instead of a tree, they have a giant cactus in their house decorated.
And instead of wrapping presents, it's whiskey labels.
Mm-hmm.
Just whiskey labels and shit. I can't believe.
Whoa, hold on. I feel partially attacked here.
No, that's a good thing.
Partially attacked here, John.
Whiskey labels as wrapping paper works. It works. I mean, you're going to be doing it for a while, but it works. You know, just slap a whole bunch of them.
Got to save all the labels from all your bottles over the course of the past year.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's fucking brilliant. Woo. Holy shit. Man. I mean, I haven't had the whiskey in a while. I know I'm going to be having some Coquito this season. I got some in the fridge and I'm ready to fucking smack into pretty soon. So, I mean, that would be my alcoholic beverage. Actually, probably starting tonight.
I've been sipping on a little bit of rum and eggnog, but like not a lot because it's fucking eggnog. Okay. So let's not
get sick.
Know. Well, yeah, basically, like, you know, we're getting old, bro. Like, anxiety and fucking, you know, dairy products don't fucking mix very well, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want a tummy ache? Fuck it, I'll give you one real quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, freaking, yeah, wow. So,
I saw Oppenheimer.
Oh, okay.
I still have not seen it yet.
I got. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Plus, it's historic.
I was going to say, haven't you Don't you know the story already, Jamie?
Well, I know the fucking story. I just haven't seen the movie. That's what I was saying. God
damn it. First off, there's some things in there that if you only know like the basic foundations of Oppenheimer, you're gonna go into that movie in the first 5 minutes and be like, "Holy shit, what the fuck?"
I was a fucking history major before I went into IT.
But did you know that Oppenheimer was a commie?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Did you, John, like the part where fucking Truman called him a crybaby? it's like
get this crybaby out of here.
Dude, fuck it. Dude, like, okay, so for context, I live in Kansas City, right? But I live officially in Independence, Missouri, which is right off the side of Kansas City, basically. Mm-hmm. But President Truman was from Independence. And when I saw that scene in that fucking movie, I literally started laughing out loud. I think I was the only dude in the theater that laughed out loud. Because I was like, yeah, like after living here for 2 years, I'm like, he was from here. I'm like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Like it kind of makes sense that he's like that. He's kind of a prick.
Don't bring that crybaby back in here.
Don't be like, a fucking Independence, shit. Missouri type of fucking thing. Like, that's just, it fits the mold.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, but it was a great movie. There was a lot of like back and forth cutting that I tried not to get confused with, but we've been rolling with Christopher Nolan for a little over 20 years now. We've been rolling with him for a couple of years now. We know what his vibe is. So, I mean, it was a great movie. I loved it. There was a lot of shit that I had no idea about that at the end of the movie. I was like, "What the fuck did I just watch?"
Well,
you know?
I think I said it when I reviewed it earlier this year. This was a massively good follow-up to the absolute disappointing shit fest that was Tenet. So this was Christopher Nolan at his best. It wasn't some fucking choppy, weirdo fucking story that you had to listen really close. And then, I don't know, like Tenet fucking sucked.
I wonder what he's going to do next, because he said he's going to stick to the historical dramas.
He should. The way if he can do historical drama like fucking like Oppenheimer, I say he should.
Well,
like,
you know, Dunkirk is a historical drama too.
Tenet was a fucking dumpster fire. That movie sucked. That's like the one time I've ever seen Christopher Nolan just absolutely trip on his dick, dude. Like, that movie fucking failed.
It had a good fucking cast. Tenet had a good fucking cast.
Sure.
It was just there were poor directing choices in that movie.
Audio too.
That's all there was.
Audio decisions too.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, the thing is, like Nolan, I will go to my grave saying this. By far, in the last 20 years, he's made the last great fucking superhero movies, in my opinion. Because the Dark Knight trilogy was fucking amazing. It was done correct. It was done right. They didn't trip over their dicks trying to make a superhero film.
Right.
Nolan fucking rocked it, and I'm pissed that Warner Brothers and DC had their fucking dispute with Nolan, causing him to step away. Because
I'll tell you what, man, like the Batman, the Nolan trilogy, standalone, all three of those movies probably make my top 10 all time superhero movies. All three of them.
Yeah.
All three. And it's
and I'm assuming the other ones are the Tim Burton ones.
Well, I would put The Watchmen on there. I would put Sin City on there. I would put 300 on there by virtue of it going almost directly off the comic
book. Yeah, which Zack Snyder just got the rights back to that, by the way.
And so, you know, there's a few other superhero movies on my list, but the Nolan trilogy kind of stands by itself in its own way, because that was, what would you call that? That was the first modern era update of Batman, and they did it. They made it about as realistic as you could. It's not that I know we could scissor it up, you know, with all the different plot holes and themes and like, and all that stuff, you know, but we're not. There's supposed to be a suspension of disbelief, and he made it in such a way that you could suspend your disbelief. You know what I mean? Yeah. And
there was the aspects of continuity from Batman Begins into The Dark Knight, into The Dark Knight Returns, from stuff even like fucking.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Train and Scarecrow coming into play in all three movies. Like,
and even losing
from the first one, then he had minor roles in second.
And Ledger was supposed to be Ledger and the Joker were supposed to be in
the third one.
The third one. Probably with Bane and Scarecrow. You know what I mean? All of them.
Yeah.
And that was probably going to be incorporated. And even though we lost Heath Ledger, Nolan still fucking. I know a lot of people that talk shit about the Dark Knight Returns, and I'm like, that believe it or not, guys, you want to hear a really unpopular opinion? That one's my favorite. Like
I actually enjoyed Tom Hardy as Bane. Like, dude, Tom Hardy fucking did the role justice.
That's the Bane character is what dragged me into that movie, and then watching him. And again, we're excusing plot holes here and plot devices, but just watching his machine. Is it machinations or yeah? So I think it's machinations.
Yeah, like machinations.
It's watching his machinations and watching how he approached the character to literally bring suffering specifically to the Batman, just to the Batman, and watching him tear Christian Bale's Batman down. That was like, that is my favorite one.
The reason why I loved that one was because there was this story called The Return of Bruce Wayne. And in the comic book, he gets blown back in time. And it showed how a man had to fight through time to get back to be who he was. And I kind of feel like, I mean, none of that happened in The Dark Knight Rises, but there was this fight of survival through time that he lost. Because he lost a lot of time when he was in that cave, you know?
It was internal conflict. It was the internal conflict of Bruce fighting Batman, so to speak, and rediscovering who he was to make it back to the city he swore to protect, to then take down the uprising that was happening. Bane targeted the city as a whole, but he did that to get to Batman. He didn't do that because of some nefarious fucking plot. It was, he purely just wanted to get to Batman.
Hell yeah. I love that movie, man. And Christian Bale, to me, was the best Batman. That's been a topic of conversation.
I think he's the number one Bruce Wayne / Batman
combined. But I also think that out of all of them, he was the best Bruce Wayne.
I would agree. I would agree that he's probably the best Bruce Wayne, like hands down.
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
His Batman was also like best Bruce Wayne Batman combo.
That's kind of where
I will still say Keaton best Batman. We're just looking standalone Batman.
Classic. Yeah,
he's classic. I'm in the same exact boat as you, Joe. I would take Keaton's Batman over Christian Bale's Batman, but the combo
worked for Bale.
Keaton was unfortunately, and this is no shame on him, but the movie came out in fucking 1989. Okay, like let's be realistic here. That was a modern era update when that came
almost
out.
Almost 40 years ago. Holy shit.
John. Can you not make me that old yet? Okay. I was born in 89, fucker.
So was Taylor Swift. But let's be honest here.
Jesus Christ.
But let's be honest here. Like, Michael Keaton did not make a good Bruce Wayne. That's that's not a slight on him.
Except in Batman Returns, he did so good as Bruce Wayne. Yes, he did. And there was that scene when he was with Michelle Pfeiffer and the song.
God, she was such a fucking smoke show in that.
The song Face to Face was on, and they're dancing in the ballroom. That scene, and they look at each other and they realize who each other were. To me, I felt like that he had that enigmatic, mysterious Bruce Wayne, and that's what I loved about that movie.
I will say, on Keaton's behalf, though, his old man Bruce Wayne from the Flash movie, fucking spot on.
Oh, it was great.
I haven't seen the scene. I'll have to look at the scene on YouTube or something.
The scene's all you need to see.
I was gonna say that's all I need to see.
The thing is, I watched the whole fucking movie, and the best part was when he finally showed up.
Does not surprise me. It's fucking DC.
Right. Even the scene, and even the fight scene with him isn't even that exciting.
And the thing is, like, when he first showed up, and at this point we're beyond spoiler warnings, it's out of theaters, been on streaming services.
Fuck him.
So when Ezra Miller's Flash goes to Wayne Manor to find Bruce, anyway. At this point, it's the Burton version of Gotham, so to speak. The manor's falling apart. Alfred's dead. Bruce is just completely pissed off. Feels like he failed. He's just an old, disheveled dude. And he whoops fucking Ezra Miller's ass. Barefooted, long gray hair, fucking beard down to about his fucking waistline. And he just like fucking kung fus the shit out of the Flash.
It's not amazing.
Best fucking fight scene in the whole movie. Like that fight scene was better than when the whole crew went against fucking Zod.
Oh, and guess what? Alfred's dead. So we got like 30 minutes left. I got to ask. We got to talk about it.
Because what you got?
We've been talking about it since this show started.
Oh, God, what?
We finally got the GTA 6 trailer.
Ah, yes, we did. We did.
And funny enough, I was having a conversation with someone because we were going to shoot about it. We were going to do a live reaction video that morning, right?
Uh-huh.
So the night before, apparently, I didn't even know that the trailer leaked. The trailer got leaked on Twitter, apparently. I had no idea about that. And I clicked the link, right? Because me and him were just talking about it. We were just, oh, yeah, let me go check it, make sure everything is still good. When I clicked that link, there was 15 seconds left. And it said this trailer is about to premiere. I was like, oh, fuck me. I guess we're not doing that live reaction video. And I sent him the link, and there it was. So before I start gobbling on it, I gotta hear what your thoughts were.
My initial reaction was this is gonna be GTA 6, and it's going to be in the quality of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
So now here's where I'm gonna have to like back off a little bit. I don't know that I'm going to throw down for a PS5 over this game.
Yeah.
If I have to get a PS5 just to play that game, I don't know that I'm going to do it. Same with the new Series Xbox. Like I don't really know that I'm on board getting a console for this game. I don't know yet. And we'll see. I know the game is massive. I know they've updated shit. I know it's probably going to be beautiful. It's going to be an experience. It's going to be somewhat hyper realistic at times with the graphics, you know what I mean? That's all cool. That's all fine and dandy. Don't know if I'm ready to buy a PS5 over that one game yet, though. Like we are just not seeing enough other games out there. I have not seen enough other games to warrant the purchase of a new platform. I've got three platforms that have been collecting dust that I haven't even used since I moved to Kansas.
I'd like to add, I'm getting a PlayStation 4 for free, so dust it off so we can play some Red Dead.
It's in my thing right now, bro.
He's good. Been playing God of War because I mentioned it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I had to take a break from that too. I had to go back to Red Dead. I was having a bad couple of weeks.
Understandable. I just needed to ride a horse
and throw dynamite into clan meetings, you know what I mean, and shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
So, that sounds like a party to me.
it is every time. It never gets old, you know?
Squilini, what were your thoughts, man?
On the trailer? The trailer looked fucking great. I love the trailer. I mean, again, it's, what, 14 years in the fucking making at this point for the next GTA game?
Five came
out on the 360 and back during the 360 and PS3 era and has stayed consistent since as the GTA game to play. I'm looking for 6. The only thing I don't like is the fact that so next year it comes out on consoles and it's not till 25 that it hits PC.
It comes out on 25 on console.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's 25 console. And 26 and then on 26 PC. Is PC.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, I get it. So, like, at this point, Rockstar is wanting to make sure it's good before release it.
And then we got 5M coming into the fray, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big thing for GTA 6.
It's going to be a good game, I hope. I'm not gonna, you know, jump on the hype. I'll wait a couple weeks after it comes out before getting it, just for the mere fact of
there's an echo.
Yeah.
Sorry. Check one.
2222229 7 8 4 5
Okay, that's better.
So, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, this is one of those games where it's going to be 100% wait, watch some reviews, watch some gameplay of it after it hits consumers' hands. Because, like, Starfield, I mean, I'm glad I didn't jump on the pre-order bandwagon for that. Sorry, John, calling you out again.
I still don't regret it.
Only because you got that damn smartwatch. That's the only thing.
Did you get your watch eventually, John? Did you get it? Okay, you got it. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
And he probably never wears the fucking thing.
Hey, man. $400
for a game and a fucking watch and never uses the watch.
Hey, I'm scared to break it. That's why.
Everybody has their own Infinity Quest, okay? Like, you know, Thanos had to go get his, you know, the gems for the gauntlet, you know? Like, everybody has their Infinity Quest, dude. And
I
mean,
I was the guy back in the day that was ordering the fucking deluxe special pro editions of all the Call of Duty games to get, like, the NVGs and the fucking RC car.
Don't even get me started, because I got those binoculars in the other room.
You guys want to hear my stupid expenditure that I've done? Like, I went on a little Infinity Quest here in Kansas City. Like, me and my girlfriend went to this really upscale bar one night with a buddy. And if you buy the most expensive drink on the menu, you get like a fucking, like a coin. You know what I mean? Like a coin. Well, there's three of these places around town. They're all different names and kind of different themes, but there's three of these places. So my Infinity Quest became to get all three coins. Do you want to know how much those drinks are for that stupid coin?
$60.
About 50. You're close. 50.
Yeah.
Good drink. Really good drink. I don't know if it's worth $50, but I got all three coins.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm never going to spend $50 on just one single drink in my life unless that drink's going to fucking give me a blowjob.
I had to see how the other side lived, man. I just had to. And to be fair, these coins, if you take those coins back to the establishment, I think they're good for like 40% off or some shit. Like you'll get 40% off like your bill, basically, like if you take the coin back. So I have three coins for three different places, but that's like,
it does have a little bit of a purpose, because then you're saving money on your return trips.
So if you go to those hoity-toity bars all the fucking time, I can see it saving money in the long run. Like
hoity-toity bars,
especially if you decide to go and get that same, you know, $50 drink again, and you're getting 40% off. Now that $50 drink costs you $20.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I said, it's kind of silly. You know, but like, you know, it's no different than a Starfield watch for John, or some of the nerd crap that you get, Joe, for yourself. You know what I mean? How much money is on your fucking whiskey shelf right now? How much money is on?
Oh my god! I was just about to ask the same thing.
I'm just throwing it out. We're all fucking guilty, bro. We are all guilty.
Guilty. But see, this gives me more enjoyment.
I agree. And it doesn't cost you
$50. This is a $95 fucking bottle of bourbon.
Jesus. Boom. So that's one bottle, and you're already two-thirds of the way to what I spent.
This one is a different bottle from that. What the fuck?
That was super loud. My bad.
Different bottle from the same company. So this one, 1,500 bottles of this were made. This was a $85 bottle. The other one, only 1,000 bottles were made.
Interesting.
That's two bottles, and you're already up to what I spent on those stupid coins. Like,
this is the cheapest bottle I have at $30.
Okay, yeah, that's.
But this is a good quality micro distillery, and this is good for, like, if I want to do a mixed drink, if I want to make a Manhattan or an old fashioned or something like that. I always keep a good quality, cheaper bottle for stuff like that, where my more expensive stuff.
Questions. While I'm thinking about
$75.
Joe, you don't got to go through the whole thing. I don't want you to embarrass yourself.
This is another cheaper bottle for those mixed drinks. This was only $25. And then I've got two bottles downstairs. One was a $200 bottle. The other one was another like $80 bottle.
Yeah. Because you're a connoisseur. You're a man of wealth and taste. I have a question.
I wouldn't necessarily say wealth. If I didn't spend all that money on bourbon, I'd be a man of wealth.
You know what's been my problem lately with that, though? Like, lately I've been collecting weird pieces to smoke weed out of. Like, that's been...
I get it. I get it. I got that Gandalf
pipe. What was it? The disposable?
Oh, you mean this thing right here?
Yeah, the disposable.
The disposable. It's fantastic.
I had a question. Since we're kind of talking about drinking and carrying on, having a good time, did either of you guys happen to catch Army Navy yesterday?
No.
I did not catch it.
I heard our boys won.
They did. Fucking Army came through. I think the final score was 17-11. So congratulations.
17-11.
The Rock of the Marne, baby. Rock of the Marne.
U.S. Army, owners of the Commander's Cup, dude. Again, we own the Commander's Cup. So.
Oh, while we're talking about Army, I don't want to get this wrong, but congratulations to Ronnie J.
Oh yeah,
I saw that badass shit that he got inducted into, and I'm like, oh
yeah. That's artillery, but that's freaking. He became I forget the name of it. It's like a forward observer. It's like a like being able to call for fires basically, but it's a school, and you go through the school, and it's an artillery school, you know, and you get, you know, it's learning how. Yeah, and he passed that, and then he got inducted into this artillery outfit, like as far as like it's a an organization, basically, and they bestow upon you, like there's one in the infantry, there's one in the engineers, artillery has them, I think the MPs have their own, but like now Ronnie's already in the one in the infantry, so he got the one in the artillery now, so Ronnie's fucking collecting his fucking, he's on his infinity quest right now. And that's fucking badass, dude.
That's crazy, bro.
He, Ronnie J, dude.
Fucking, that was like, man, fucking A, dude. That's wild.
Fucking A. Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Our boys are doing good, man. Our boys are doing good. Like that's isn't that all we ever want to see? Is our boys doing good?
Hell yeah.
Like, that's,
oh yeah.
I just
be wrong. We'd be wrong. People
with kids, you know, want their kids to be happy, smiling. You know what I mean? Like, want the boys to be doing all right with their ladies. You know. Or their boys, whatever they like, you know, like I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's all the same to me. I just want everybody to be fucking good. You know what I mean? And when I see people, our homies fucking succeeding, dude, like it brings a fucking a little tear to my eye, dude. Cause I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, goddamn, get some, get out there and fucking get some, dude.
And while we're talking about get some, there's a new Christmas movie coming out called World War II in the Front Lines. I don't know. I always, for some odd reason, I always think Christmas time always, means World War II movie time sometimes.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah. There were definitely a few Christmases on the front lines in World War II. So
yeah,
so,
but yeah. There's this new documentary coming out. It's simply called World War II, The Front Lines. And it has like, they always say that it's always unreleased footage, but I mean, you never know. How much damn footage do they have left of this war?
Well, it's thousands of hours. Thousands of hours of shit you've probably never seen.
You think there's more? You think there's more?
Guarantee there is. When they used to make all the old World War II documentaries and stuff like that, like they were only pulling from like a little bit of. I'm echoing again. Like, why does that keep happening? That's weird. When they make those documentaries, they were only pulling from a little bit of like. Spools that they were given by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Government has thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of footage from all across the different campaigns. And a lot of it is still, I don't want to say it's never been seen, but a lot of it has never been released. You know what I mean? Or it just hasn't been used. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So with us kind of switching over to the World War II topic, one of the things that I just recently discovered this week in good old Naval World War II history was when we fucking straight up hijacked a damn U-boat.
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yes,
yes,
we fucking did.
You know, the destroyer group, you know, they were out there to intercept the U-boats, blow them the fuck up, so that way they'd stop trying to fuck with the supply lines.
Right.
And finally, a Navy fucking captain was like, you know what, fuck this shit, we're taking it.
Yeah. Yep. And that's, dude, that's like fucking danger on the high seas, homies. Like that, like, and then go ahead, Joe.
They tugged this fucking U-boat like 20-something thousand miles. to fucking, I think it was like the Bahamas or Puerto Rico or something, to a fucking port while they had crew inside trying to patch up the holes from when they blew a hole in the side of this fucking boat.
Right. Yeah. It, I'll tell you, dude, like, I got mad, nothing but mad respect, dude, for all of our servicemen and servicewomen in the Navy, the Coast Guard. That's some shit I can't do, dude. Like, I'm not a fan of fucking giant bodies of water. Not a fan of being, like, surrounded by water for fucking sometimes thousands of miles in every direction. You know what I mean? There's places in the fucking Pacific Ocean where if you're there in the Pacific Ocean, the closest people to you are in the fucking International Space Station above you. Like, literally. Like, mm-hmm. like those are the closest people to you on Earth.
I've had
I'm good on that, homie. I don't need to be there.
I've had people ask me why I didn't go in the Navy, why I went in the Army where it's more dangerous. And I've straight up said, if I was meant to be on water for an extended period of fucking time, I'd have been born a fish and not a fucking human.
Yeah, dude. I got mad respect, dude, because that's
just the only reason why I didn't make it to the Air Force, because I failed the test. So
surprise. We love you, John.
Hey.
You were still
on the Marine Corps ASVAB. You know, here's a dotted line. Don't eat the crayon. You've got 6 minutes to connect the two dots.
They tried the Bulldogs tried to get me. That was a nah. That's a little too hard for me. I'll join the Army.
You did fine.
I did get a lovely fuck you from one of my buddies. I'm gonna call him a Marine, even though he's out, because you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. They kind of
yada yada yada. Yeah.
Don't enjoy saying that they're an ex-Marine or being called an ex-Marine. So there's a company that makes crayons ready to eat, or CREs.
Oh, and we've talked about this.
I think we have talked about it before. I sent him a pack of those for fucking Christmas as a gag gift.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a video of him fucking with one of those hanging out of his mouth while coloring on a fucking other sheet of paper with the other ones. Because they legitimately do color, but they're chocolate, so you can eat them.
Oh my fucking God, dude. That is wild.
Yeah, it's funny. Wild. When we first started this podcast, like we had found them. I gotta see how much they've adapted now. Hang on.
They're sold out now. I think
they've always been sold out. We tried to
get lucky. I got lucky because it was like 2 days after I ordered them for him, they fucking sold them out again.
Shit. Oh, wow. They have crayon dispensers. Holy shit.
A Marine's favorite aisle in the store during back to school season is the fucking crayon aisle.
For 50 cents, you can get a CRE Marine Corps aptitude test.
Oh, my God.
Is it the whole connect the dots thing?
It might be. Your recruiter can help you. You have 1 hour to complete. And then there's the crayons, $20 for a pack, but they're sold out. Yeah.
Always sold out.
The 650 December 8th resupply order starts shipping on Monday, December 11th.
That's funny.
Resupplying again in February.
February.
This is wild. I mean, they should just give this to kids too.
They probably do.
Six crayons ready to eat. One jarhead red, one squid blue, one dog face green, one flyby yellow, one puddle pirate orange, one space cadet white. I like puddle pirate orange. And the ingredients are sugar, cocoa butter, whole milk powder, soy, lecithin.
It's literally fucking chocolate, bro.
Listen, depending who you're asking, it can be different types of chocolate.
Milk chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate on rocks.
Fudge.
Dark chocolate.
That's about all I know right now.
Hang on, I got you. Milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate.
Oh, this motherfucker just pulled up a list of the different types of
semi-sweet chocolate, bittersweet chocolate, unsweetened chocolate, cocoa powder, sweet chocolate. Wait, there's more.
Chocolate has many uses.
There's more.
Coverture chocolate, ruby chocolate.
John's becoming the Bubba, the Bubba version of fucking for chocolate over here.
Now, fuck that. I'm gumbo. Now come see me at Fallout 76 and
chocolate pie.
You know, I've made a feat in a video game that I'm very proud of, and that is I am one recipe away from completing the basic recipes in Fallout 76.
What does that mean?
I can make all the food, plus more. Can make mud cookies. Can make s'mores with bone in it.
Dope.
I'm telling you, man. Telling you, man. So, what else? We got anything else before we hit?
I was gonna say we talked about Army Navy, and then that's honestly
football.
Last 2 weeks, dude. Like, I gotta say,
football.
Dude,
you got football.
Well, I was gonna say Army Navy's been the highlight of my fucking last couple weeks. So I don't know. Me and Joe very briefly were talking about the fucking Chiefs last week.
Yeah, what you got on football?
Oh well,
I mean, there's a couple games this week that are gonna be good.
Yeah.
I still, you know, there's still those must watch teams. The Dallas Eagles game today is really going to be a huge deciding factor going into the playoffs.
Isn't that, is that tonight's game? Is that Sunday?
Yeah, that's the Sunday night game.
Okay. Good to know.
So 8:20 tonight, is that, I mean, really, honestly, looking at the schedule, that's the only, like, Rams. In my opinion,
Rams
must watch.
Rams, Ravens, maybe the Jaguars, Browns,
Lions.
Lions, Bears looks like a trap game for the fucking Lions, though. That's like because the Bears suck so bad right now. That almost looks like a fucking trap game for the fucking Lions. Chargers, Broncos,
Niners, Seahawks,
Chiefs, and the Bills. But don't do like. Boy, I hope my fucking Chiefs show up today, dude. They've really been shit in the bed.
You want to know when it started happening? When Taylor Swift started coming to the fucking games?
Oh, get off your high fucking horse, okay? I don't want to hear that shit. Okay, first off, Taylor Swift just became Time's Person of the Year, sir. Thank you. Okay, and like that woman has done more, like you know, than so many. Like, oh no. I am not blaming the Chiefs' football woes on Taylor fucking Swift, okay? That woman does not deserve the hate she gets. Like,
Tell me one person who does. Tell me one person who does.
Deserves the hate they get?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. Like, it's got a list.
Andrew Tate.
Hitler.
Hitler. Trump, yeah, but he's dead.
Fucking, like.
Hitler's dead, though. I mean.
Yeah, but he still deserves all the fucking hate he gets. I mean,
Any of those little fucking...
If you can't feel it.
Tell you what, any of those little fucking YouTube pricks that, like, walk around fucking with people on the street, but they've got, like, a giant bodyguard with them.
Like Johnny Somali, that son of a bitch.
Boom. Fuck that kid, whoever the fuck that guy is. Like, he deserves
Paul brothers.
The Paul brothers. The Paul
brothers. We're fucking stealing land. No, fuck them now. They're taking land from Puerto Rico. Fuck them.
They just don't stop, do they? We're living in the era of, like, the shithead. Like the bigger of a shithead you are, the more popular.
Have I not said this before? This is the era of the influencer, and these motherfuckers are ruining.
And they're all shitheads.
And here's the thing that fucking pisses me off with it, John. Here's what pisses me off. This is our generation.
Yeah, yeah.
This is our time, and John's generation from us.
And they're fucking giving us all a fucking bad name in the late '80s, early '90s generation because they're a bunch of fucking shitheads.
Just and me and Joe turned out all right.
Who did?
Me and Joe turned out all right.
I mean, speak for yourself.
I mean, we're a little kooky.
That's a product of the era, not vice versa. The era is not part of the product. You know what I mean? Like,
era is not the problem. Here's what the problem is: poor fucking parenting.
Thank you. Like somebody didn't get told fucking no enough when they were a kid. You know what I mean? I mean, straight up.
I got my ass beat enough growing up to know wrong from fucking right.
Fucking thank you, dude. I got popped more than a couple times for fucking my mouth getting me in trouble, and I learned either how to control it or be ready to fucking fight back. That's basically
I made the
like,
mistake a few times of fucking saying some stupid shit, and Dad get home from work, and you know there was one time I decided to try to be Billy fucking badass because I was bigger and taller than him at this point.
Oh. How'd that go, Joe?
So I ended up having to lock myself in the bathroom, and then he fucking slammed through the fucking bathroom door, like busted that motherfucker off the hinges. The bathroom door flew into the shower, and then I got my shit rocked.
You have an issue with doors, man.
Bro, like, dude, like, John, like, the 80s and 90s, were you were there. It was a different time, and casual domestic violence just kind of happens sometimes.
You know I mean? I don't know any.
I wouldn't call it casual domestic violence. I call it fucking discipline.
For that time, that was our discipline.
Because in no way, shape, or form deserve those ass beatings.
Listen. Man. I dropped the Christmas tree
as
on my
adult.
Mom.
I now feel like I now know that I deserve those ass beatings. Back then, I was like, "Why the fuck did you just punch me in the fucking jaw, Dad?"
Yeah, I dropped the Christmas tree on my mom when I was a kid, and I got my fucking ass kicked after the police left. Yeah, the domestic violence happened after the cops left. So
the cops leave, then we're gonna fucking tan your hide.
Yeah. You know, I was a bad fucking kid.
I decided to tell my dad I was going to call 911 on him after he fucking whooped my ass. He handed me the fucking phone and dialed the fucking number.
Oh, shit.
That's called calling a bluff. You guys always wonder, like, why dad jokes are so tame and, like, kind of, like, you know, like, cheesy. It's because our real idea of a dad joke is, like, oh, you want to fuck around? Bink, bink, bink. Find out. Call the cops right now. They're on the fucking line. Tell them.
And that's, you know, the thing is, those of us that were raised right in that generation now, we're the ones that are looked at poorly because we want to discipline our kids properly. And in today's societal norms,
I know corporal punishment is not gone entirely away, but it is definitely frowned upon to publicly. I remember watching kids get their asses beat like in Kmart back in the day.
Yeah.
Like a straight ass whooping. And it's like,
oh, my dad banged me down.
And you just, you tunneled it, you know, you put the fucking blinders on, you know, and you just kept fucking walking with your parent down the aisle while the other kid that was screaming is screaming even louder now because they're getting their ass beat in the middle of like the blue light special. You know what I mean? Like that was the fucking 80s, bro. I know you guys came along a little bit after I did.
Oh no.
The 80s were fucking wild, bro. And then
the early 90s
weren't much different. Like,
see, here's the thing. My body's been here since the late 80s, but my soul's been here since like the 60s.
Oh, I believe it, John. I believe it. You fucking hippie. Like, I believe it.
Nice pussy.
Thank you.
Oh, I mean, but see, that's the thing. Like, I was one of those kids. I got my ass whooped in the fucking damn cereal aisle in a fucking Walmart growing up.
Yeah. Why? What'd you do, Joe? What'd you do? Because I know you probably
tried to argue about why we needed Lucky Charms instead of fucking cornflakes.
Motherfucker, eat your cornflakes. You will eat the fucking cornflakes.
Every fucking time I got my ass whooped, I could recollect and tell you exactly what I did wrong to deserve said beating.
You want to know what's something funny about the cornflake situation, though? Why is it, right? Like, our parents would get us, like, we'd get, like, the Captain Crunch, the Rice Krispies, but then there's always, like, six boxes of old fucking cornflakes just sitting at the top of the fridge. It's been there for, like, 4 years. No one says anything about it. It's become decoration piece at this point.
Yeah. I mean,
we had those boxes. You know what we used them for? Mom would take, you know, a cup of fucking cornflakes out of those old ass boxes, put it into like a fucking Ziploc bag, crush it, and breading for like fucking chicken.
Oh yeah, my family used to do that
because it was stale already. So the only good use for it was to crush it up into a fucking powder to use as a damn breading.
Yeah, we see us Hispanics sometimes we'll just leave shit there. We'll leave it there for years.
It becomes
or
fucking decoration for y'all. Or
like the Toll House the Toll House green tin crackers. Give that shit to Abuela. She's gonna put all her sewing shit inside of it.
So growing up in an Italian Norwegian household, for us it was those Danish butter cookie tins.
Yeah. Oh,
the blue tins.
God, I fucking love those.
That's what mom kept all her fucking sewing shit in. She had like 90 of those fucking tins in different locations throughout the fucking house. There was one of those like shoved behind the VCR in the fucking entertainment center. So if like I'm sitting on the couch and my shirt's ripped, she could just walk up to the fucking entertainment center, grab her fucking little sewing kit out and patch my shirt up while watching TV. Like those were in our household. That was our fucking, like, if you needed to fix a fucking hole in a piece of fabric, look for the blue tin. That's where the sewing shit's at.
Those were the days, man.
Those were the days, man.
It was a different time. It was a different time, but those were the days.
I still use those blue tins because I buy a couple of those tins of those cookies each year, like two or three of them. Mm-hmm. But because I work in tech, you know what I keep in those fucking tins? Cables. I use it to organize my fucking cables.
I'm getting ready to do some organizing myself, and I'm already like, thankfully, freaking, I don't have too much to organize, but it's, you know, when I'm getting down to the stuff that I've got, I'm like, I pretty much want to keep almost everything I have. You know what I mean? So it's kind of I need to start keeping, because, well, when we moved from Colorado out here to Kansas City, I got rid of a lot of the old shit. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the shit we just didn't need anymore. Girls had grown out of, blah, 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 all that bullshit. We fucking, you know, donated it, dumped it, fucking left it behind. You know what I mean? Like that was basically like, that was it. So now it's like, when you get ready to, you kind of like reorganize every once in a while, and reorganizing is not necessarily a harder task, but it's kind of like, I'm at the point where I'm not really getting rid of anything. I'm just finding a better place for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not a hoarder, but there's stuff that I keep because that's one less thing I have to have.
Yeah. You know,
Go ahead, John.
No, so there's the chuck it bucket, and then there's the fuck it bucket.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, like, for me, because I spend fucking exuberant amounts of money, if it's not on fucking bourbon, it's on fucking tech shit. For instance, I just recently bought a Stream Deck for my work computer. Because now I'm sitting in a lot of meetings, I'm dealing with a lot of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations, and the Stream Deck, the same thing I use for my podcasting setup to control my audio, all my different shit for my gaming rig. I bought the standard version of that for my fucking work setup to use the Teams integration. So like if I'm in a Teams meeting, I can unmute and mute myself by clicking a button on that versus having to find my fucking cursor somewhere on the screen and get it to the fucking mute button, stuff like that. And with my fiance, she hates it because I keep boxes for every piece of tech I buy.
Me too.
Now I finally had to break it down to her recently, cause I just cleaned out a lot of the boxes. Cause I typically just keep the boxes long enough to where if it breaks during the return period, I can return. Once it makes it past return period, I don't have a need to keep that box anymore. Monitor box, if it's a monitor box, I keep those because then since I do still rent, when I do have to move, I can take my monitor, put it back in the styrofoam.
Package it. Yeah. For me, I don't keep the monitor ones. I usually keep like the little boxes, like the beacon stuff, the, you know, stuff like that. Wires, obviously. So, but I mean, look, boys, we're here at the final part of the show right now. This is, you know, as always, to me, actually, it's my favorite part of the show because we let everybody know what you need to know.
Yeah.
And do you want to take it off, Joe?
I'll take it this week.
Go for it, Joe.
It's been a while. So, you know, we've touched on it a little bit this episode because we are in the holiday season. We've made it past Thanksgiving. We're all still here. We're all still fucking cheery and happy to the best of our abilities. But with the holidays, there's that fucking echo. With the holidays coming up, we've got.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. I'm just wanting to make sure the echo's fucking done.
It should be. I don't hear it.
With the holidays coming up, it's a tough time for a lot of us, you know, whether it's because of the loss of a family member around the holidays or a loss of one of our battle buddies from while we were in the service or anything of that nature, just the losses that we've sustained through our adult lives, at this point. We have those times of doubt, those times that we feel down, out, like the world, like whatever higher power is just constantly kicking us in the fucking nutsack or the ovaries, depending on, you know, your gender specifications. But we definitely want to make sure that the tools that are out there are provided and that it is made aware. So you can always text or call 988, or you can just call 1-800-273-8255. It's 1-800-273-TALK to get in touch with somebody from the National Suicide Hotline. There's a lot of great people that do that. They are there to listen, provide any resources you might need for your local area if you need resources. I've called the hotline a time or two in my day, and it's pulled me out of some dark times. I've also called battle buddies and friends. Another thing outside of that, if you're not feeling down and out, if you just are like, you know what, if you realize, hey, I haven't talked to X person in a while, reach out, send them a text message, contact them on Facebook, fucking call them. It might save a life. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what they're dealing with. And that text, that phone call, that video chat might be the deciding factor that helps them learn that they are still valued, that they still have purpose, that people still care and are thinking about them. As always, we want everybody back here in 168 for the next episode. We want everybody to report in for formation because we care. And with that we care statement, I know it's been said time and time again, you can reach out to myself, John, Jay. If you don't have anybody else to reach out to, reach out to one of us. If you don't feel like texting or calling the suicide hotline, reach out to one of us. There's no judgment, no poor feelings towards anybody that needs that help. I've always got an open ear. It's available 24/7. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If you are sitting there and you've got the bottle of bourbon in your hand and a pistol in the other hand thinking it's just the end, fucking reach out. That's all we ask.
That was beautifully said, man. So, guys, catch us next week, December 17th. Holidays are coming up.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Here they come.
DD214 Best Of is going to come out, and this was a good fucking year.
It was. Holidays are coming up faster than a fucking dildo up the ass.
Yep. Like, right up there.
Yeah, and let me tell you.
All the way up in there. Sorry, John.
No, you're good. I'm going to have a little speech for the both of you. When we do our holiday
show, episode,
when we do, we're going to have to talk about that too, because Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday.
Yep.
So we're going to have to figure out what's going to happen there. But guys, please make sure you're here next week. You know, we had a calm time. We talked about a lot of good stuff. Hit us up. Tell us what you like. Listen to the show. Don't listen to the show. It doesn't matter, because we're going to do.
Comment, subscribe, provide feedback. We need it.
Yeah.
Let's fuck Andrew Tate.
And if you don't, we're just going to keep on going and just keep on doing it and keep on doing it. You know, yep. we're just hanging out, but we love you. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. You guys be good.
Be very good, or you're going to get cold.